can make it. Do it. Makes us honor, better, faster, stronger.
Campbell on second down and 5.5. Looks right. Comes back to the left. Going long for Gordon. He's out there and he caught the ball at the 20, at the 15, 10, 5. Touchdown.
Unbelievable catch, unbelievable throw.
Coming to you live from Browns headquarters in Berea, Ohio, this is Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Takes the snap, Dalton back, looking near side, throws it, picked off, and an open run. It's Joe Hayden, and he's in, touchdown.
And now, here are your hosts, Vic Carucci and Nathan Zagora.
All right. Very happy to be with you on this Football Tuesday edition of Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Vic Carucci with you from Mobile, Alabama. That's the site of Saturday's Senior Bowl 2014 edition, making our third annual visit here to Mobile with this show. And with me from Northeast Ohio is my partner, my good friend. We did get a glimpse, a taste of him yesterday via phone, but today he's now back in his full capacity as co-host, the full enchilada, Nathan Zagora. How you doing, my brother?
I am doing very well. Want to start off the show on a positive note and give a little congratulations to T.J. Ward being named to the Pro Bowl, bringing the total number of Cleveland Browns in the Pro Bowl this year to 6, which is pretty darn impressive for a team that posted the record the Cleveland Browns posted last season.
Yeah, with Troy Polamalu pulling out of the game, Ward is in. We're excited about this show. In about, maybe 12 or so minutes, we're going to have Ray Farmer, the assistant general manager of the Cleveland Browns, on our set here in Mobile. We are located at the Renaissance Hotel, which is the headquarters for the Senior Bowl. This is where all the players are staying, where the coaching staffs of the Falcons and Jaguars are also based. They're leading the teams in this game, and the NFL people, it's a who's who of NFL folks roaming around here, and this is Radio Row. You got Sirius XM NFL Radio and other affiliates from around the country located here besides us, but we are in the prime location, really, kind of smack dab in the middle of it all. So Ray Farmer is going to join us in a little bit, and we'll get his thoughts on scouting the Senior Bowl, just get what his perspective is on that. We're also going to hear from Mary Kay Cabot from the from Cleveland.com, the Cleveland Plain Dealer, covers the Browns, get her thoughts on the coaching search, which has taken yet another turn. The latest news, and we'll update you on that right now, as good a time as any, is that Adam Gase reportedly pulling out of consideration for the Browns head coaching job. Nathan, this was someone that we talked about on this show that's been written about as a top target or certainly a leading candidate, but one candidate among many. The Browns did not go into this search just fixated on only one guy and saying, okay, it's everything in the egg basket for him, and if we don't get him, we have no idea what we're doing. That has not been the approach. They've been talking with multiple other people, interviewing other people. You put together a list, and sometimes when a guy isn't the guy that you want, you don't get, either for reasons that he chooses or you decide, you move on to who else you have on your list.
Yeah, and to be fair about it, you know, it's just not a good look. This isn't something that looks good to hear another head coach pulling out of the Browns search. That's not anything that anybody gets excited about, certainly fans of the Browns. But as you and I talked about it last week, Notorious, when we were talking about who we thought, it was either Friday forecast or an after further review, who we thought would be the head coach of the Browns, neither one of us said Adam Gase. We both thought it would either be Quinn or Pettine, the defensive coordinator of Seattle, or, of course, the defensive coordinator of the Buffalo Bills, who is now apparently going to get a second interview with the Browns coming up at some point soon. It's unfortunate. I didn't really think that Gase was going to leave. Now, if there were a situation where they won the Super Bowl and Peyton Manning were to go ahead and, you know, retire, then I could see it. But right now, as it stands, I don't see it. And he's pulled out, and that'll be it. So definitely a little bit of a blow, I think, in terms of just from the PR standpoint for an organization right now that's taking a lot of beatings. Yeah, I've heard people tell me now 3 of their top choices have pulled out. Todd Bowles was never a top choice. Josh McDaniels was flat out told he wasn't the top choice, which is why he withdrew his name. And I wouldn't be surprised if his name ends up coming back up again down the road. But Adam Gase is out, and now you got to focus on, you know, it sounds like Dan Quinn of the Seattle Seahawks, their defensive coordinator, and maybe at the top of the list, and near him would be Mike Pettine.
Yeah, I think that's handicapped pretty well. With regard to top choices or timing and targeting and so forth, Gase was the guy, my understanding was, that this team had viewed from the very beginning as a very strong candidate, if not the top guy. And that much I knew about this process, just in terms of when they reached out to him and the enthusiasm that I know Joe Banner had for him as CEO. That still didn't mean he was going to get the job. It did mean, though, that they liked a lot about him, the innovative thinking, young, up-and-coming guy, 35 years old, the work he's done with that Denver offense. Of course, a guy named Peyton Manning has had a lot to do with that, too. But nonetheless, he gets credit and has gotten a lot of praise from Manning, from John Elway, the president of the Denver Broncos, for the work he's contributed to a team that is now going to the Super Bowl. So he was an attractive choice, maybe for some obvious reasons. And there are others who thought, just talking around league circles, and I've been here really the epicenter of the NFL down here in Mobile, Alabama, getting a variety of opinions and perspective on Gase. Some people basically saying, you know, he's a young candidate who maybe someday would be a good coach in the NFL, a head coach. Not sure if he's ready for that job now. I was hearing that all week long. That guy your team is interested in, you know, maybe next year, maybe a couple of years down the line, he'll be ready to be a head coach. This might not be the year for him to do that. But those were, you know, opinions. I didn't get a whole lot of unequivocal, yep, you're tapping into the next Vince Lombardi. You're getting a superstar here in the making. And he might very well be that as well. We don't know. But the fact is that he's chosen to apparently stay as an assistant coach, and maybe he'll stay as an assistant coach for a while longer, working with Peyton Manning, who may stay there a while longer. And that's the other thing I was asking some folks around the league about. You know, Peyton Manning, if he won the Super Bowl, would that mean he would walk away from the game? And I'm hearing that he has more or less told the Broncos that he wasn't going to go anywhere, that he wanted to still be part of more success down there and continue. We'll see how that plays out after we see how the Super Bowl plays out. But that's interesting. You bring up Dan Quinn, and I know this much, that the Browns have been doing a lot of investigating on background of him, on personality, kind of assessment, talking with people around the league, because those people are talking with me, Nathan. Those people I see out and about, and this process is morning till night. You're around football people in a very confined area here in Mobile or at the stadium. You know, we're watching practices, and obviously every time someone sees me or sees my Browns jacket, the discussion jumps right into the coaching search. And a lot of references to you know, to Quinn and calls that have been made to certain people who know him well, and the Browns are doing their due diligence to find out more about him. Mike Patton reportedly now due for a second interview because he had a strong first interview. And I'll tell you what, some people who are very nervous about this are the people who run the Buffalo Bills, and especially Doug Marrone, their head coach, because they're panicked over the idea that if Patton becomes the head coach of the Browns, they're up the you-know-what creek minus a paddle.
Right.
trying to find a coordinator now, you know, that's not an easy thing to do.
No, it's not an easy thing to do, but at least it is something that the fact that they seem to be so unhappy makes me happy. Yeah. That perhaps we want somebody, you know, that he seems to be such a coveted person. So at least that makes me a little bit happy on the Mike Patton front. I actually spent a lot of time with Bart Scott, obviously, this weekend doing our show on CBS together. Yep. And really kind of sat down and talked with Bart about Mike Patton for a very extended period of time. And listen, maybe players – I've heard it go both ways, though. I've had as many players tell me negative things about coaches as I've heard positive, but he very much is a fan of Mike Patton, you know, kind of went through the Browns personnel, thinks he would do wonders for the defensive front seven, could make a star out of Barkevious Mingo, and certainly, you know, he has gives him as good an endorsement as he can. He said, yeah, the first year went to the Jets, Rex still called a lot of the plays, but after that, it really was Mike Patton taking charge of that defense. Said he's a good leader, has a little bit of that tough Philadelphia background in him, and is somebody that he spoke very highly of. Dan Quinn, obviously, I don't have that one degree of experience with, but certainly has done a very good job. Seattle Seahawks, they are going to the playoffs. And you know, some stats that we've come across, Vic, about coaches, and this would apply to Quinn, or it would apply if, you know, maybe Greg Roman's name ends up popping up, Vic Fangio. We've heard a rumor that they're going to interview the defensive line coach of the 49ers, potentially. Of the 16 coaches of hired from a team that advanced to its conference championship, and this is in the basically since 1993 or later, the salary cap year, 16 head coaches have been hired from a team that advanced to at least its conference championship. 14 were given their first NFL head coaching position.
Right.
14 of them led their new teams to the playoffs out of the 16. So 14 of those 16 coaches took a team to the playoffs, and one of the coaches that didn't did have a 10-6 season. 11 led their new teams to the playoffs within the first 2 years. 11 out of 16, that's pretty good. 6 advanced to the conference championship within the first 3 years. 3 advanced to the Super Bowl within the first 3 years. So there is a strong track record of success with coaches coming out of the Final Four of the National Football League, which Dan Quinn would, of course, fit that bill.
Yeah, and with good reason. I mean, teams get to those games, sure, because they got a lot of talent. They've got a really good head coach. But I think those lieutenants, those coordinators, have a lot to do with it as well. The Broncos, not only the work that Adam Gase has done, but I think Jack Del Rio has done a spectacular job with their defense to help get them there. He's not been mentioned for the Browns or any other head coaching position yet. He was rumored maybe for a possibility at the college ranks at USC. But looking at the way things have played out with him, there's another guy who I think has helped his stock because he's part of this Final Four in the NFL, and he's been a head coach before. Maybe he's rectifying his career that way. So those numbers tell a pretty interesting story, and I know that was research. We want to give great credit to our public relations staff
Yes.
of the Cleveland Browns, who sat down and put all that information together for background for us and for others to know about. By the way, just a little update. Ray Farmer just texted me. He will be joining us in more like a half an hour. He said right around 1:45 Eastern time he'll be aboard with us. I say Eastern time because it's 12, a little after 12 here in Mobile. But he just texted and said he was running a little behind. So we're still going to have him on the show, but we'll have him on a little bit later around the 1:45 mark. So and that'll be great. And joining us on the set right now, I mean, we say one guest is going to come at a different time. We bring a guest on with us right now, and he is Derek Carr, quarterback for Fresno State. Derek, first of all, welcome to the show.
Oh, thanks for having me.
All right, I'm Vic Carucci, and you'll hear the other voice you're going to hear is Nathan Zagura, our co-host, who's back in Cleveland. Derek, I want to start with this. This quarterback class, and a lot's been said about it, that it's a really good one. You've now have a chance being in a bowl game like this to practice with other quarterbacks, to see the Jimmy Garoppolos and other people. Give me your assessment and thoughts on where you fit in this group and how you what kind of impact you think you're going to be able to make on the NFL.
Whoever gets me, I'm going to play to the very best of my abilities. I'm going to give them everything I got, whichever city I go to, whichever team wants me. They know what they're getting. Especially want to come to the Senior Bowl so I could have an advantage over, some of the guys that aren't here, show them that, I love to compete. I love to be here around a lot of great guys and that we can play, with these guys as well.
Derek, Nathan Zagura here. Thanks so much for joining us. You put up unbelievable numbers at Fresno State this year, had a phenomenal season. Talk a little bit about now coming to the Senior Bowl, working with NFL coaches. How is it different, or are you already sensing some differences in the style of offense you might be asked to implement at the NFL level, and how do your skills translate?
It's been great. I've been very blessed to be on the Jaguars, team for this week, to learn their offense and those things. And it's very similar to what I ran my first 3 years in college with under Pat Hill, and running the pro style, play action, run checks, the simple, West Coast kind of stylish reads. And so I've done that. I've been training to be an under center quarterback since I was three. The only difference is I've played in the shotgun the past 2 years.
How has it helped having your brother, David, experience what he did in the NFL? Top overall pick of the Texans. Obviously, the career doesn't go the way he would have hoped it would go, or the Texans or anybody else, but a guy who went through a lot and experienced a lot. Just your observations of that, and in what way, shape, or form are you utilizing that to your advantage?
Absolutely. I learned a lot just from sitting back and watching. I got to see a lot of things and how the NFL works, how the business side of things goes sometimes. And one thing I can say about Dave is he never pointed a finger. He continued to try and be his best. And, that takes a lot because it's easy to point fingers. And he never did that. That just says a lot about his character and how much he really cared about his teammates.
Derek, as you get into the Senior Bowl, you have the opportunity to showcase yourself in front of a bunch of NFL coaches. What's the one thing that you sit down, because we all know your great arm strength, great accuracy at the intermediate, deep levels as well, but what's the one thing you would want them to know about you, the man, you, the leader, that will allow a team to select you most likely in the first round and become the face of their franchise going forward?
Absolutely. You know, the number one thing for me is I'm so determined to want to be great. I'm never going to, you know, just say, oh, I'm pretty good at throwing this ball. Let's put that aside and work on some other things. I'm going to work on everything. You know, I want to be the best at everything that I do. And as Coach Bradley has taught us, and, you know, as I took notes, you know, during his team meeting today, he said, don't be the very best. He said, be the very best you. And, you know, I thought that was interesting, because that's all that you can do, is you can only go out there and control what you can control. Be the very best that you can be, and then, you know, the rest takes care of itself.
Your personal story, pretty amazing. You and your wife, Heather, and your son, Dallas, going through a lot. And I want to ask you, he was born with a medical condition that, it entangled his intestines, basically, right?
Yes.
Give us an update. He's had the three surgeries on where things stand with young Dallas right now.
First of all, thank you for asking.
Sure.
You know, that means a lot to me. I'm not even joking. You know, he's doing great. He's actually on a flight right now with my wife and her parents. They're going to come out here and enjoy the week.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, so they're going to be out here, so I'm sure everyone will see him around the hotel sometime.
And, I'm looking forward to that.
You know, he's healthy. You know, he's the happiest baby you've ever seen, too. So, you know, Gabe Ickard from Oklahoma, you know, center, we were in a deal in New York together, and he said he didn't think that Dallas cried for 3 days, you know, while we were there. So he's a great kid, man. We're very blessed.
And what's that, just witnessing that, going through that, and as a dad and as a husband, how has that also maybe come into play with you're preparing for your next step as a professional?
Absolutely. You know, I there's no drama, you know, when I go home. You know, I know what I have when I go home. You know, I know when I'm done with work. I have a stable life. You know, I have a beautiful wife who loves me and cares about what I do. She understands, you know, this side of things and how football works. And I have a beautiful son who I love dearly, and you know, that I'd do anything for. So I'm trying to give him a nice backyard, and you know, and Cleveland would be a nice place as well to have it.
That sounds good to us too. What do you think, Nathan?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I wouldn't mind seeing the car to Gordon hookup out there for the Cleveland Browns. But you talked about what you went through and how obviously anybody who has a child knows that fundamentally changes them. Go through something like that with your child. That maturation that you have got, do you feel that gives you kind of an advantage just as an adult almost entering what can be such a tough transition for a young person to come in the league with all the pressure and have all that money? You've dealt with real-life pressure that puts football somewhat kind of pales in comparison.
Oh, absolutely. You know, going through that, it really showed me, you know, a great perspective on life and what's really important. You know, my faith is number one always. And then going through what me and my wife went through with Dallas, you know, we just saw how precious life is.
Sure.
And, you know, you got to enjoy every moment of it. That's why I walk around so happy, so joyful all the time, you know, because, you know, I love to interact with people. I love people because you never know what's going to happen, you know. So going through that, you know, I try and be my best, you know, person that I can be. And I think that helps me, like you asked, you know, as I go on into the NFL. There's going to be a lot of drama. There's going to be a lot of roller coasters. And if you can just, you know, keep the faith, keep the steady, you know, motion, ignore the distractions, you know, you'll be just fine.
Derek Carr, quarterback from Fresno State, our guest here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, on our set in Mobile, Alabama, site of Saturday's Senior Bowl. He'll be playing in that game. Derek, I want to ask this, whether it's the Browns or any team, what will they get if they bring aboard a Derek Carr?
They're going to get someone who, as soon as I'm drafted, I'm the biggest Cleveland Brown fan there is. You know, I'm going to absolutely, just like in Fresno, when I went to Fresno State and committed there, I was 100%, you know, I'm committed here. And these next 5 years, you're going to get absolutely everything I have from an effort standpoint. You're going to get absolutely everything I have giving back to the community. You know, I love to do those things. And I genuinely care about your franchise and your people, you know, and I want to be a part of that. I want to be the same community and, you know, bring a community together, you know, as Cleveland already is. You can tell when you watch the games, you know, how much they love their Browns.
Oh, yeah.
So I can already see it. And, you know, I'm from California. So, you know, they know what they're getting. You know, there's no back doors, there's no curtains up. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm an open book. You know, I'm very open about my life, and I'm going to come in and work my tail off. You know, try and earn the respect of my teammates, and then most importantly, win championships. You know, that is my number one goal. I don't care about stats. I don't care. You know, it's funny I say that. You know, throwing the touchdowns we did and stuff, but genuinely that stuff didn't matter to me. You know, I just wanted to win and see my teammates happy.
Derek, what is the one perception, if there is any, about your game that you're not happy with? That there's something the media says Derek Carr does not do X well, that you're out at the Senior Bowl and through the combine and the draft process to prove to them that that is not, in fact, the case?
Absolutely, to prove that I can, take a five-step drop and throw a deep out, under center. You know, just those things from under center. And I knew coming into it, playing in the shotgun, that was going to happen. But you don't say anything. You just go out there and show them with your work. And, you do it to the best of your abilities. You try and be accurate. You try and do those things. And, hopefully, none of that stuff, really bothers me. But, I know that that's one thing that they want to see.
And, Derek, just to follow up on that, today's NFL, I would say offenses more closely mirror those spread college offenses than at any point in the history of the game. So it isn't so much a transition where, you're never going to be in shotgun. There are a lot of teams that are in shotgun 40% of the time or more.
Absolutely, especially on third down. You watch the, you watch third down, everyone's in the gun. Especially if it's third and three, third and four plus, everyone's in the gun. It's easier to see back there. The blitzes and all those things. So when you get guys spread out, you got to make people cover a lot of ground. And you're exactly right. But along with that, first and second down, there's some play action stuff that you got to be able to hit.
Derek, thank you so much for taking the time to join us. It was a pleasure to get to know you a little bit, and it would definitely be wonderful if we saw you in Cleveland, man.
Yeah, absolutely. God bless. Thank you.
Thank you.
He is Derek Carr, quarterback for Fresno State, and stopping by our set here in Mobile, Alabama, site of the Senior Bowl. We've got much more coming up on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Vic Carucci, Nathan Zagura, ESPN 850, WKNR.